The inversion does not itself get into the dream content, but manifests its presence there by means of the fact that a part of the already formed dream content, which lies at hand for other reasons, is, as it were subsequently, inverted. It is easier to illustrate this process than to describe it. In the beautiful up-and-down dream, the representation of ascending is an inversion of a prototype in the dream thoughts, that is to say, of the introductory scene of Daudet's Sappho. In the dream, climbing is difficult at first and easy later on, while in the actual scene it is easy at first and later becomes more and more difficult. Likewise, above and below in relation to the dreamer's brother are inverted in the dream. This points to a relation of contraries or contrasts as obtaining between two parts of the subject matter of the dream thoughts, and the relation we have found in the fact that in the childish fancy of the dreamer he is carried by his nurse, while in the novel, on the contrary, the hero carries his beloved. My dream about Goethe's attack upon Mr. M. also contains an inversion of this sort, which must first be set right before the interpretation of the dream can be accomplished. In the dream, Goethe attacks a young man, Mr. M. In reality, according to the dream thoughts, an eminent man, my friend, has been attacked by an unknown young author. In the dream, I reckon time from the date of Goethe's death. In reality, the reckoning was made from the year in which the paralytic was born. The thought determining the dream material is shown to be an objection to the treatment of Goethe as a lunatic. "The other way around," says the dream. If you cannot understand the book, it is you who are dull-witted, not the author. Furthermore, all these dreams of inversion seem to contain a reference to the contemptuous phrase, to turn one's back upon a person. German, einen die Gerseite zeigen. Cf. The inversion in respect to the dreamer's brother in the Sappho dream. It is also remarkable how frequently inversion becomes necessary in dreams which are inspired by repressed homosexual feelings. Moreover, inversion or transformation into an opposite is one of the favorite methods of representation and one of the methods most capable of varied application which the dream activity possesses. Its first function is to create the fulfillment of a wish with reference to a definite element of the dream thoughts. "If it were only just the other way," is often the best expression of the relation of the ego to a disagreeable recollection. But inversion becomes extraordinarily useful for the purposes of the censor, for it brings about in the material represented a degree of disfiguration which all but paralyzes our understanding of the dream. For this reason it is always permissible, in cases where the dream stubbornly refuses to yield its meaning, to try the inversion of definite portions of its manifest content, whereupon, not infrequently, everything becomes clear. Besides this inversion, the subject matter inversion in temporal relation is not to be overlooked. A frequent device of dream disfigurement consists in presenting the final issue of an occurrence or the conclusion of an argument at the beginning of the dream, or in supplying the premises of a conclusion or the causes of an effect at the end of it. Anyone who has not considered this technical method of dream disfigurement stands helpless before the problem of dream interpretation. Indeed, in some cases we can obtain the sense of the dream only by subjecting the dream content to manifold inversion in different directions. For example, in the dream of a young patient suffering from a compulsion neurosis, the memory of an infantile death wish against a dreaded father was hidden behind the following words: "His father upbraids him because he arrives so late." But the context in the psychoanalytic treatment and the thoughts of the dreamer alike go to show that the sentence must read as follows: "He is angry at his father," and further, "that his father is always coming home too early," i.e. too soon. He would have preferred that his father should not come home at all, which is identical with the wish that his father should die. As a little boy, the dreamer was guilty of sexual aggression against another person while his father was away, and he was threatened with punishment in the words, "Just wait until father comes home." If we attempt to trace the relations between dream content and dream thoughts further, we shall do this best by making the dream itself our starting point, and by asking ourselves the question, what do certain formal characteristics of dream representation signify with reference to the dream thoughts? The formal characteristics which must attract our attention in the dream primarily include variations in the distinctness of individual parts of the dream or of whole dreams in relation to one another. The variations in the intensity of individual dream images include a whole scale of degrees ranging from a distinctness of depiction which one is inclined to rate as higher, without warrant to be sure, than that of reality, to a provoking indistinctness which is declared to be characteristic of the dream because it cannot altogether be compared to any degree of indistinctness which we ever see in real objects. Moreover, we usually designate the impression which we get from an indistinct object in the dream as fleeting, while we think of the more distinct dream images as remaining intact for a longer period of perception. We must now ask ourselves by what conditions in the dream material these differences in the vividness of the different parts of the dream content are brought about. There are certain expectations which will inevitably arise at this point and which must be met. Owing to the fact that real sensations during sleep may form part of the material of the dream, it will probably be assumed that these sensations of the dream elements resulting from them are emphasized by peculiar intensity, or conversely, that what turns out to be particularly vivid in the dream is probably traceable to such real sensations during sleep. My experience has never confirmed this. It is incorrect to say that those elements of the dream which are the derivatives of impressions occurring in sleep, nervous excitements, are distinguished by their vividness from others which are based on recollections. The factor of reality is of no account in determining the intensity of dream images. Furthermore, the expectation will be cherished that the sensory intensity, vividness, of individual dream images has a relation to the psychic intensity of the elements corresponding to them in the dream thoughts. In the latter, intensity is identical with psychic value. The most intense elements are, in fact, the most significant, and these are the central point of the dream. We know, however, that it is just these elements which are usually not accepted in the dream content owing to the censor. But still it might be possible that the elements immediately following these and representing them might show a higher degree of intensity without, however, for that reason constituting the center of the dream representation. This expectation is also destroyed by a comparison of the dream and the dream material. The intensity of the elements in the one has nothing to do with the intensity of the elements in the other. A complete trans